There's much to be said about living in a small town, especially when you've lived in a big town or two and experienced some of the frustrations of city life. Of course, the attraction tends to run in the other direction if you grew up in a small town. Our next guest did just that, starting out life in Little Etna in Siskiyou County. Kate Jobson went off to learn a craft and see the world. Now she wants to come back and exercise the craft and knowledge back in Etna. Kate's a theater producer and now a creative community fellow through the organization National Arts Strategies. It is that second title that will bring her back to Etna to stage The Cherry Orchard by Anton Chekhov. Kate Jobson, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hi, thank you very much for having me.
So in a region full of small towns, Etna is still pretty tiny. How many people live there, and what was it like, basically, growing up?
Well, it is 719 people. And growing up there, there's some of the typical things that always happen in small towns where everybody knows you, and if you do something wrong, your parents know about it before you've even gotten home. So there's all those little things. But there's something that I noticed about growing up there is that when I went out in the world and we meet up with other people who had left off, that area had left a deep imprint on us and how we then approached city life and how we lived the rest of our lives. So it always fascinated me why that small town versus other friends of mine who grew up in small towns, why that made such a deep imprint on us.
And you've had your real share of city life. You you have been to the Bay Area, you live in Los Angeles now. You've been in several places around the world. You've put up some stamps on your passport.
Yes, I have. I've filled up a passport and had to get a new one before. So I've done and lived in a lot of different places, but I realize that humans do organize themselves in small communities wherever they are, in whatever country they are. They keep creating these little communities to live in and understand and find trust within. So I think growing up in a small town actually prepared me pretty well to see the world and see how different humans can live.
I forget which scientist, social scientist, or just wise person came up with the idea that people tend to work best in groups of 150. Any more than that gets unwieldy.
Yeah, it does.
So did you develop your interest in showbiz early, Kate?
Yeah, I actually started performing on stage, dancing when I was 3, and then I started doing community theater when I was 7, and by the time I was 17, I'd done about 30, 35 plays at the Siskiyou Performing Arts Center there in Siskiyou County. So
that's a pretty good opportunity for a small town, though, isn't it?
It was, yeah. There was my mentor, J.J. Lewis-Nichols. She had moved there from New York City and been on Broadway a few times and started a very disciplined theater company there. So there's actually quite a few of us who have gone on to be professional theater artists from growing up in that community theater.
Wow, that's an unusual sort of thing to have happen in a small town.
It is.
So when you left for college, where did you go?
After college, I stayed in the Bay Area and worked professionally in theater there for a little while, and then I went and pursued my master's in theater directing at UC San Diego. And now I live in Los Angeles and also work at a theater company that is run by another woman who grew up in Etna with me, Camille Schenken. So the two of us, both from the same small town and now running a theater company in Los Angeles. So pretty funny.
I noticed the name Camille Schenken. Is she any kin to Robert Schenken, the playwright?
Yeah, she is actually. Her husband is Robert Schenken's nephew. So she's his niece-in-law, I suppose.
Okay, right. So Robert Schenken was the winner of the Tony Award last year for All the Way, the LBJ play that was given birth at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. So the theater training in grad school is interesting because you found another powerful person, sort of like J.J. Lewis-Nichols there. Tell us about your mentor in graduate school.
Yeah, so my mentor in graduate school, his name is Gábor Tompa. He's the head of the Hungarian Theater of Cluj, which is actually in Romania, but he's part of the large Hungarian-speaking population in Romania. And he is very, very strict, but he exposed me to this wide range of theater from around the world. So I got to go assist him in South Korea. I've seen some of the most amazing directors from around the world, and I got to meet a lot of them this last year. I went to a festival there in Romania, and I've been to festivals in France and Scotland, and so he really opened up what international theater is doing right now for me.
So with a title like Associate Artistic Director at Circle X Theater Company in L.A., you could be doing lots of things. What's your general run of work? Are you producing? Are you directing a little bit of each?
I do a little bit of both. I also like to develop a lot of work. We do a lot of new play development, and so that means that we have a group of playwrights, and we work on the play in different stages to get it to the point where it's able to be produced and is the best it can be. So I do I do whatever I can to make the work become good.
That's always an interesting process to watch. You've probably been to the Ashland New Plays Festival a few times, but interesting to watch as people kind of whittle things down and begin to free them from the block of stone in which they start.
Yes, and that's actually what I wanted to do with this Cherry Orchard project, because we're not just staging a traditional production of it. We're actually adapting it to reflect Siskiyou County. So I wanted to bring everybody in Siskiyou County, or as many people as I can in Siskiyou County, into that process. So we're actually interviewing them in order to get the information to be able to adapt the play. And then we're doing all those readings and processes that we do to develop new plays with the community. So we're doing it publicly and getting feedback from everybody. So that was one of my big reasons for doing this project, was to be able to have people have a voice in the creation of a new play and see what that's like, and see a play that they have had some input in then go on to have this professional life.
Kate Jobson is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. She is from Etna in Siskiyou County, now living in L.A., wants to bring the Cherry Orchard Project back to Etna. She's a creative community fellow through the organization National Arts Strategies. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange with questions or comments. 800-838-3760 works anywhere in our listening area. If you choose to send an email instead, send that to jx@jeffnet.org. So how did you come to learn about National Arts Strategies and the Creative Community Fellow Program?
It was sent to me through, there's a lot of art listservs that come up, and it was sent to me through one of those because everybody knows I like to do this kind of work. And it was actually their first year, so I was in their inaugural year of it, and they've been accepting applications for their second year, but it's a really wonderful program. There's 40 of us from around the world who are selected to do it, and they're all different types of art projects in all different types of communities. So some of them are doing things in Egypt and along the Nile, gathering musicians along the Nile and touring them together. There's some other people that are doing pop-up performances and workshops around Los Angeles. There's some of them that are doing all sorts of amazing things around the world. So it was a pretty great group to be a part of.
It's fun to look at the map, too, at the website, mm-hmm. where all the fellows are shown, because you just click on points on the map and boom, you know, it goes, swings the map over there and shows you a picture of each person, and you click on L.A. and there's Kate.
Yep.
So once people put this in front of you and you laid eyes on it yourself, was it a real, whoa, I have got to do this kind of moment?
Yeah, absolutely, because I'd been thinking about doing this project, the Cherry Orchard Project, for about a year before. So I really study the Cherry Orchard very thoroughly in graduate school, and I've seen many productions in many languages of it. And it always reminded me of my hometown. So when this came up, it was really an opportunity for me to have the chance to develop the project and move it forward and get other people's opinions about how to really focus it on exactly what I wanted to address.
So I imagine you had to make a proposal to be considered for the fellowship, but you had the proposal essentially in your head, if not on paper already.
Yes, yes. It's been there for a long time. Those are always the best projects that just come out of who you are and what you are.
So for the folks who don't know it that well, and I've probably seen it but don't remember, what's the general storyline of the Cherry Orchard and how it parallels to events that go on in Etna and the Scott Valley in California?
Yeah, so the Cherry Orchard takes place in 1905 in rural Russia. And there's a family that has owned this Cherry Orchard for generations and generations, but they have fallen into debt. And their cherry orchard ends up getting sold off, and then one of their close friends actually cuts it down and turns it into vacation homes. So it's not an exact parallel to things that are going on in my community, but I think it hits at a lot of the fears of things that can happen, that how rapidly a community can change from being rural to being full of houses. And, you know, I've seen that happen in a lot of other communities around California, that within a few years, the landscape has entirely changed. And I know the state of Jefferson has been preserved in a lot of ways by being pretty far from urban areas, but since the populations of California especially is increasing so rapidly, that distance is meaning less and less. So I know there's been a lot of changes in my community that could potentially lead to it being more just of a vacation destination and not a vital rural economy. So,
and in fact, you would have been, I'm trying to think, if you're in your mid-20s now, you would have been growing up around the time that things were getting kind of serious about water allocations and discussions of who gets what and the whole fish versus farmers dichotomy that some people set up.
Yeah, I lived through both the, when I was a child, both the spotted owl legislation, so the fall of the timber industry, when my elementary school shrunk by half from the time I started to the time I graduated, and then, yes, the next big sort of political conflict coming up. And my family's in the middle of that, so because my mom works with water resources for her profession, and my dad grows trees for reforestation. So my family was in the middle of everything and all the discussions.
Oh, absolutely, in the crosshairs, and both parents, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, and they are in the middle of it. They're not extreme on either side. And but I also, as I grew up, I came and went out into the world. I really came to understand more the point of view of both sides, and really understanding that what I wanted was to preserve a rural place that lived and had open spaces. And that I thought that that is something that, even though there's these deep conflicts over water, I think that both sides really want to preserve rural places, open spaces, spaces for both animals and humans to be. So I'm trying to find my own middle ground, because ultimately what I want is something greater than necessarily the politics.
Kate Jobson, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, Associate Artistic Director at Circle X Theater Company in Los Angeles, but a native of Etna, California, and talking about bringing the cherry orchard in an adaptation back there. 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. So what are the next steps then? What has to happen now to move this forward? And when you talk about adapting the play, I mean, how heavy a rewrite will it get?
Well, how heavy a rewrite it'll get, it depends really on the information we get from the people in the area. So I've already started doing some interviews there, but the playwright Octavio Solis, whose work is actually seen at the Oregon Shakespeare Festival quite a bit, he's actually moved up to this area now too, from San Francisco. So he and I are going to be going and doing these interviews, and as we go, we're really deciding what's the best path to take. But we wanted to start with the information and start with the people first, and really build our adaptation off of that. So we'll see, I guess, is the answer. The other next steps are, right now we're in the middle of doing an online fundraiser, and you can go to my website, katejobson.com, and there's a link there. And we're trying to raise money to be able to afford what it costs to adapt a play. So to be able to pay the playwright and pay actors who come and do the readings. So that's sort of the next year of this. And then we'll be traveling and bringing the readings around all around the area in the spring of 2016. So that'd be the next thing. And then the summer of 2016, we're going to do a performance in Siskiyou County, and then actually tour it down to Circle X Theater here in Los Angeles to try and raise awareness and start building a bridge between rural populations and urban populations.
So I'm curious about the interviews. Who are the people you asked to interview, and what do you ask them?
Well, the biggest things I ask them are about what they feel the future of our community is going to be. So what their fears are, what their hopes are, and also what their history is in the community, why they came, what they feel like makes it unique. So what we're trying to get at are two things: what the context that we're going to adapt the play into will be. So really, what is the cherry orchard? And what is the world these people are living in? And then also trying to adapt the characters. So I love the characters of the Cherry Orchard, and I feel like some of them fit perfectly. But it's also, you know, when you're doing this, you have to be careful and really make sure that all the dots connect. So,
You're trying to be respectful to your community, for one thing, and I can imagine you might have had a few people respond like, you want to do what now?
In some ways, most people I've talked to have really been excited by it, and some people, I was amazed actually how many people know the Cherry Orchard in the area, compared to even when I'm talking about it in Los Angeles. So it seems like something that people have heard about and tapped into. And then when I tell them the plot of it, a lot of times people say, oh, man, yeah, that sounds familiar. Or a lot of people feel like it's really needed just to get rural stories out into the community, because the majority of media and stories come from an urban area and then get sent out. But it's really difficult for rural stories to be able to spread in the same way that urban ones do. So people are really excited by that idea. So I've partnered with different community organizations like the Siskiyou Land Trust and the Siskiyou County Cattlewomen's Association, and they're going to help me produce some of the readings and do some of the research for it as well.
You mentioned getting some assistance from Octavio Solis, who's written plays for the Oregon Shakespeare Festival. This sounds similar to work that Bill Rausch did, the artistic director at OSF, before in his previous company. Have you talked to him at all?
Yeah, he used to run Cornerstone Theater Company here in Los Angeles, and they have done similar work to this. They actually just did a project that was an adaptation of The Tempest, or actually The Tempest itself, but it was set in California, and they toured that around California. We're going to speak with him, and I've spoken with him about other things than this project. But, yeah, I mean, we're also going to use Oregon Shakespeare Festival as a resource for both knowledge, and, you know, we'll see what other future partnerships are available through that.
So is the Cherry Orchard project the kind of thing you have to come back to from time to time between other things, because you still have your day job, essentially?
Yeah, we'll be going up there. I'll just find concentrated periods of time that I return to the area and do the research. And since Octavio lives there, he'll probably be coming back and forth more. But, yeah, it's something that we'll be building for a long time. And I feel like that length of time gives depth to it. And hopefully even beyond the performance at Circle X, we'll be able to tour it to other places, both rural and urban, around California, and really start building conversations. And hopefully for me, this is just the first step, that I want to continue to start doing projects that connect urban and rural California, whether that's through having artist exchanges between the areas or having plays that are developed entirely from the community. So we'll see where it goes in the future. But for me, this is a way to launch this idea into the world.
The one thing I haven't asked is who the performers will be. Are they just going to be local folks?
No, it's going to be a combination. Mm-hmm. So there's certain parts that I feel like will work really well from local performers. And then there's other ones that they just take a lot of skill and are difficult to create. So I'm going to bring in professional actors that are from California and grew up in California to start that urban-rural exchange right away.
Okay, and we'll keep our ears open for the emergence of the Cherry Orchard project, probably coming out as readings in spring of 2016 and performance in summer of 2016. Kate Jopson will be there at the helm of it. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you so much.